Turn your Bible to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And as you're turning there, a kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom as the children drew pictures. The teacher would occasionally walk around and see each child's artwork. As she approached one little girl, she was working especially hard. She asked what the drawing was. The little girl told her, "I'm drawing a picture of God." "But sweetie," the teacher replied, "no one actually knows what God looks like." The little girl, drawing intently, said, "Well, they will in a minute." Amen, amen. Gotta love children. This morning, I want to talk about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Years ago, I remember reading an interview that a pastor had with Muhammad Ali, the great heavyweight world champion boxer and follower of the Muslim faith. Ali asked the pastor, he said, "Isn't it true that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God because of his virgin birth?" Ali said, "He had no earthly father, right? Well, if that's the case, Adam didn't have an earthly father or mother. Wouldn't that make him more the Son of God than Jesus Christ?" The pastor replied, "Here's what you need to understand. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born a virgin. He was born a virgin because he was the Son of God." Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem. He is the ever-existent, everlasting God who simply laid aside his glory to take on human flesh, to enter into our humanity. Let's look in Luke chapter 1, skip down to verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. In his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This morning, I want us to gain some truth on the importance of the virgin birth of Christ. We need to understand, and unfortunately, even in Christian mainstream, even in the Christian churches today, Christians think way too lightly about the virgin birth. We need to understand it's not incidental. It is absolutely fundamental to the Christian faith. That's how important it is. And I want to start this morning by considering the mysteries of the virgin birth. Verse 34, Mary said, "How can this be?" That is that great mystery of God. And the angel replied in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. How can it be? Mary cried out, and the angel replied simply, with God nothing will be impossible. Now I want to make a declaration here. We need to understand that the truths of the Bible do not depend on our understanding of those facts in order for them to be true. Okay, we need to etch that in our hearts. Our understanding of those facts, of those truths, it depends on nothing about our understanding for them to be true. We need to understand that there are many things of God, many mysteries of God that we don't understand, but we experience them and we know them to be true. Many mysteries in our everyday lives. Think about the human eye, for example. I have no idea how the eye works. Anybody can explain it? All I know is when I open my eyes, I can see. I can't explain how. I don't understand the process. I just know it to be true. My television set at home is the same way. I have no idea how those images go through the air and end up on my TV, but all I know is when I click the on button, it's there. Amen? I experience it. I see it. I know it to be true. I don't understand it, but it's still true. So Mary asks that great question. How can this be true since I'm a virgin? I've not been with a man. A scientific and biologic impossibility. That is apart from God. As the angel declared, with God, nothing will be impossible. God created the laws of science. God created the laws of nature, all those laws that we are bound to. But we need to understand, as creator, he is not bound by them as we are. God cannot be contained. God is never caught off guard. God is never surprised. And there are no mysteries to the omniscient, all-knowing God. Amen? So bottom line, as I have no doubt that God is the Almighty Creator, I have no problem whatsoever with the virgin birth in Bethlehem. Amen? If you understand Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, then you will have no problem understanding verse 37. With God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, one thing I want us to understand as well, that word mystery is a little bit different used in biblical times as it is today. Today, we think of mystery as, you know, the Scooby-Doo mysteries, right? Things that are unsolved. But a mystery in the Bible is talking about something that wasn't known beforehand. It was an unknown truth. So here we see, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Something that was once unknown. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Amen. That is the mystery of godliness. Something that was once unknown, but has now been revealed in Jesus Christ. Listen, it's fine if we can't explain the virgin birth. There are many, many mysteries of God beyond our comprehension. But because we don't understand them, it doesn't change the fact of their existence or their truth. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we're going to be like Mary. And we're going to ask, how can it be? But in the end, we're going to conclude like the angel Gabriel and declare, with God, nothing will be impossible. God did it, and that settles it. Amen. If you have difficulty believing the truth of the virgin birth, if you have difficulty believing that God is the Almighty Creator, in the beginning God created all things, then let me tell you something. Your God is way too small. Amen? That is the mystery of the virgin birth. Next, I want us to consider the meaning of the virgin birth. Skip over to Luke chapter 2, one chapter to the right. Skip down to verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The virgin birth and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that is God coming in the flesh, was absolutely necessary for our salvation. Absolutely necessary for our forgiveness, our redemption. God created Adam and created Eve and gave them dominion over the earth. But when Adam gave in to Satan's temptation and he sinned, he forfeited. He lost that dominion over to Satan. Adam and Eve and all mankind at that point became slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. And as a result, that sin passed on over the entire human race. Now, since sin entered the human race by a man, it must take a perfect and holy and sinless man to redeem and rescue us from our sin. Enter Jesus Christ into humanity by way of the virgin birth. It's fundamental. All mankind can be divided into two groups. You're either of Adam or of Jesus Christ. You're either unsaved or you're saved. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, you're either in Adam, unsaved, all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Saved and have eternal life. Jesus came to earth. He took on human flesh, born of a virgin in that stable, in that cowshed, in that manger in Bethlehem, to undo what Adam did when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Think about what a wage is. When you work at the end of the week, you expect what? A wage to be paid. That is the just payment for our sins. The wages of sin is death. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be paid for. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no redemption. In order for the punishment of our sins to be paid for, there had to be an innocent and sinless blood that was shed. Holy God taking on human flesh. Jesus Christ, emptying himself of all of his glory and entering into humanity, was our only hope. Plain and simple. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, remember the wages of sin is death, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. We are sinners by birth and by choice. Listen, if Jesus were born like we were, through Adam's bloodline, he would not have been without sin. Amen? Through Adam's bloodline, sin passed through the entire human race. He had to be born of a virgin, no sinful father. He had to be born a man in order to redeem mankind. And he had to be born sinless in order to pay for our sins. Amen? Here's a fact. Going back to science class. In the womb, that baby that is growing in that mother's womb is separate from the mother itself. The mother absolutely provides food and provides nourishment for that baby, but it has its own separate blood supply. That's why our children can have a different blood type than their mother. Amen? And there's two people especially thankful for that. Maury Povich and Jerry Springer. They both made a career out of that, right? The blood test. Father's blood, it's the father's blood that determines the outcome of a paternity test. But that's also vitally important for us to understand. Jesus did not have one drop of Adam's blood flowing through his precious veins. Amen. It was innocent. It was sinless. It was perfect. It was holy. It was the precious blood of God. Pure and simple. Without the virgin birth, there is no atonement for our sins. We would have no hope. There would be no chance whatsoever for salvation. Jesus laid aside all of his glory, and he became a man for us, you and me. He did what he did in order for us to be saved. That is God's desire for every single person. 2 Peter 3:9. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many? All. Not some. Jesus didn't die for a handful. He didn't die for just the good people, for the righteous. There's none of that on this earth. Amen. He died for all. That is God's desire for all to come to repentance. Jesus was born of a virgin so that we can be born again. This is the meaning behind the virgin birth. So we've seen the mystery, we've seen the meaning. Let's look at the majesty, the magnificence of the virgin birth. Going back to our scripture in Luke chapter 1. Skip down to verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Let us never lose sight to who the babe of Bethlehem is. Amen? He is the Almighty God. There's a great verse in the book of Hebrews that gets overlooked so often. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Listen to what it says here. "But to the Son, he, the Father, says, God the Father is declaring this of Jesus Christ the Son. He says, your throne, O God. You catch that? You should underline that in your Bible. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. God the Father declared Jesus Christ God. Amen? It's important for us to understand that Jesus laid aside his glory. Amen? He laid aside his majesty, his glory, his magnificence to take on human flesh, but he never laid aside his deity. He never ceased being God. That's important for us to understand. That little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes is the same mighty creator that spoke all things into existence. John chapter 1, verse 1. First couple verses in John 1 are some of the greatest Christmas verses ever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Friends, that's the Christmas story right there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's something for you to try to wrap your mind around. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was way older than his mother. And he was as ageless as his father. He is the ever-existent, everlasting Father. He is the Almighty God. This world, no doubt, is spiraling downward out of control into darkness. Deeper and deeper into darkness every single day. Why? We say that God is in control, right? Well, why is it happening? That's because Satan still has dominion. That dominion that he took from Adam in the Garden of Eden, the moment he duped Adam into sinning. He still has that dominion. But we need to understand, we hear it all the time, what is this world coming to? Friend, it is coming to Jesus Christ. Amen? It is coming to the King of Kings. He is coming again to reclaim the earth's title deed. He's coming again to take his rightful place on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's coming to rule and reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom, the Bible declares, there will be no end. This world is upside down because Christ is not on his rightful throne of this world yet. But one day soon it will happen. Friend, we need to understand that there will not be peace until the Prince of Peace reigns forever. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Romans 6:23. We heard half the verse earlier. For the wages of sin is death. But thank God for that little three-letter word after it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. Praise God for the mystery, the meaning, and the magnificence of the virgin birth.